right. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 is our text for this morning. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You might say that this beatitude gets to the heart of the matter, wouldn't you? Blessed are the pure in heart. I want you to remember, as a prelude to this message, that these Beatitudes, in these Beatitudes, Jesus is revealing to us the character of those who are fit for the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us the very nature of those who have been blessed by God, those who are being sanctified and prepared for heaven. In effect, he's telling us who what it is that is really a Christian. He's telling us who it is who will be in his kingdom. Now, I don't think Jesus is primarily telling us in these Beatitudes how to be happy, although if God works these qualities in you, there will certainly be a sense of underlying joy, peace, contentment, and happiness. But he is telling us what a true Christian is. He's telling us what we are like if, in fact, he has blessed us. Of course, here at our church, we understand what true blessing is, don't we? You are blessed if God chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. It says in Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." And you are blessed if Jesus took you in his hands before the foundation of the world and said, "I will save you." It says in John 6:39, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day." And you are blessed if Jesus actually came into this world as a man and lived as your substitute. Now, he knew you couldn't make it, so he came and he lived a righteous life in your place as your substitute. There's an interesting verse in Colossians 3:4 that says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear." Now, we tend to think of Christ as our substitute in death, don't we? We talk often about that, and he certainly is, but we forget that he lived in our place. He was our substitute in life. His life counts for us. We failed, but he succeeded. And Jesus is perfectly acceptable to the Father by his righteous life, and so are we who are in him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But you are also blessed if Jesus made an atonement for you by his sacrificial death. The death of Jesus was a sacrificial death. That means that he gave himself up for you. It was a substitutionary death in that it counted for you. It was a penalty paid for you, and it was a saving death because it saved you from eternal condemnation. But the blessing doesn't end there. You are blessed if the body of Jesus came out of the tomb for you. Our resurrection hinges on his resurrection, and when he came out, we came out. Do you ever think about that? We were in him. When he was raised up to heavenly places, we were raised up to heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. But you are blessed if the Holy Spirit sought you out and called you and drew you and wooed you to Christ. Where would you be today if he had not done it? You are blessed if the gospel was preached to you. Some people in the world never hear the gospel. Do you understand that? If the gospel was shed abroad in your heart, you are blessed. Someone somewhere shared the gospel with you, and it was not by accident. You are blessed if the Holy Spirit rode the wings of the gospel into your heart. Because many people hear the gospel and are not moved at all. But the Holy Spirit moved you. The Holy Spirit made you alive. He quickened you. He made a new creation out of you. And you repented of your sins and believed the gospel. How blessed are you? But you're blessed if the Holy Spirit has sanctified you over the years. And He has done it. He has made you more like Christ day by day. He has brought you a long way, and He has a long way to go. Wouldn't you agree? But He is doing it. And so I hope you see the huge scope of the blessing that Jesus briefly mentions in our text when He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, these Beatitudes are a very good litmus test for us. We take a good hard look at our own selves and we ask ourselves if, in fact, God has worked these things in us. Has God blessed me? Am I among the poor in spirit? Am I meek? Do I mourn over sin? Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Am I merciful? And now this morning, am I pure in heart? You see, these things are the very essence of Christianity. They are the virtues that are worked in us by the Holy Spirit. They are the very characteristics of our new nature, which has been created in us by the work of God. And they are the characteristics that are never found in the world. There is a huge difference, after all, between the lost man and the saved man. There was a huge difference, wouldn't you agree, between Cain and Abel? Cain was disobedient, Abel was obedient. Cain was a murderer, and Abel was the victim. There was a huge difference between Isaac and Ishmael. There was a huge difference between King David, who was after God's own heart, and King Ahab, who was a satanic tyrant. And the difference is a matter of the heart. So Jesus is talking about a very crucial thing here when He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." This is one of the greatest utterances in all of Scripture because it gets to the crux of the matter. If we are to be fit for the kingdom of heaven, it is a matter of the heart. Let me just say that the heart of man is the engine that drives everything else. Everything you do proceeds out of the heart, whether it be wicked or good. Your religion proceeds out of the heart. And all of our works and all of our religious service will ultimately be judged by the condition of our heart. I suppose that a lost man and a saved man could perform the same work. Each of them could outwardly perform the same deed or the same religious performance. Each of them might go to church. Each of them might sing a hymn. Each of them might utter a public prayer. Each of them might contribute an offering. But in that last day, on Judgment Day, Jesus will look down into the heart of man to determine whether those religious acts were good and acceptable acts after all. Did you know that many people offer up public prayers in order to be heard of men? Many people give money so that the treasurer will be impressed. Many people come to church to impress their neighbors or to impress the pastor. I wouldn't advise that. It doesn't really matter much what I think, does it? But it matters what God thinks. And in the end, acceptance before God is a matter of the heart. It is not doing the act itself, but the condition of the heart that matters. And God will peer down into your heart in that day. There's an interesting verse in Jeremiah 17:10. If you'll take a look over there. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the what? Heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Isn't that an interesting verse? God is going to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It almost sounds like works, doesn't it? Until you consider the first part of the sentence, and it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. So it appears that the works are evaluated on the basis of the heart condition. Take a look at 1 Kings 8:39. 1 Kings 8:39. And we have something similar there. It says in 1 Kings 8:39, Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. This is the great thing about our God. He will never be fooled. He will never be deceived. And he will search the heart to see from where your works came. You know, man often makes judgments based on the outward appearance. Sometimes that's all we have, is just the outward appearance. But God does not look on the outward appearance of things, but he looks on the inward parts. When Saul, the king of Israel, sinned against God, God rejected Saul as the king of Israel. And God sent Samuel out to find and to anoint a new king. I think you know the story. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse. Do you remember? And Jesse brought all of his sons to appear before Samuel. That is, all but David. David was out tending the sheep. And when they were all lined up in front of Samuel, he looked, that is, Samuel looked at all of the sons, and he said, surely Eliab is the Lord's anointed. You see, Samuel looked on the outward appearance. Eliab was apparently handsome, and he was tall, and he just looked like a king to Samuel. But listen to what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7. God said, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, let me just be fair to David. He was no slouch to look at either, as it turns out. The Bible says that David was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. You ladies would have enjoyed looking at David. But that was not his main qualification. God looked deeper than that. God looked into the heart of David. And he said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. And Jesus told the multitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to caution you over and over and over again about mere outward performance. It is perhaps the most dangerous trap of all, because you deceive yourself. You know you're guilty before God. You know that your heart is not right, but you convince yourself that you can perform religious deeds and all will be well. You say, I'll go to church. I'll sing in the choir. I'll give my money. I'll even teach Sunday school. I'll be a deacon. I'll even preach if the pastor is away. And if the pastor goes haywire, which he may do someday, I'll apply for that job too. But the simple truth is that you can't get to heaven with an impure heart. Jesus is far too insightful for that. His grace, his gaze penetrates into the inward parts. He sees the deception and he sees the wickedness and he sees the dark corners and he cannot be fooled at all. So Jesus gets right to the crux of the matter and says, blessed are the pure in heart. So in light of this striking statement by Jesus, let's consider first the heart condition of the natural man. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now this verse applied to the Jews in that particular context, but it is quite clear that the truth of that statement extends to all men everywhere. There is not a man on the face of the earth who was ever exempted from that verse. None except the Lord Jesus himself, of course. The heart of the Lord Jesus was not deceitful, and neither was it wicked. But every other man on the face of the earth was born with a deceitful and a wicked heart. He was born with it. This is his inheritance from Adam. It's a very crushing inheritance indeed. You know, usually when you receive an inheritance, it's a good thing, right? You sort of look forward to opening that envelope, but not so with Adam. He left us a very bad inheritance. We are defiled to the very heart. Our very core is corrupted. You say, Brother Ron, that's a hard judgment on the human race. Yes, but it's an accurate judgment. The Bible doesn't tell us what we would like to hear, but it tells us what we need to hear. And the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. When the Bible talks about the heart, it is not talking about that pump that pumps blood throughout the body. It is not talking about that physical organ in your chest, but it is talking about the deepest dispositions and desires of your soul. It is all of you. It is your mind, your will, your affections, and every conceivable part of you. It is your very core being in all of its parts. And the Bible says it is deceitful and desperately wicked. I would suggest to you that it is wicked to an inconceivable degree. It is more wicked than you know, and it is more wicked than you can imagine. When it says that the heart is deceitful, it means not only that your heart is prone to deceive others, but also your heart deceives even you. You are deceived by your own heart. The pride of your heart leads you to form a false estimate of your own character and of your own conduct. And it leads you to think far higher of yourself than you ought to think. It causes you to think that you are something when in fact you are nothing. And your deceptive heart causes you to think far less of God than you ought to think. You have a far lower estimation of the holiness of God than you should. You have no appreciation for the awesome greatness of God. No appreciation for the infinite holiness of God. No appreciation for the magnitude of His condescension in saving sinners. And the deceptive heart causes you to have a very low appreciation for the despicable and disgusting nature of sin. You have a very dull sense of the extreme danger of sin. You are almost oblivious to it. Death and hell lurk around the corner, around the next corner. For the natural man, and because he has deceived himself, he is hardly aware of it. Needless to say, the natural man is not qualified for the kingdom of heaven. He shall never see it. No, he shall have not one glimpse of it. He will never lay eyes on the inexpressible beauty and glory and holiness of this place. And in that day, the lost man will lament his wicked heart. In that day, the natural man will say, "But I was deceived by mine own heart." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me." And the lost man will say, "But my wicked heart blinded me to the truth." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting fire." And the lost man will make his final arguments, and he will say, "But I performed many wonderful works." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, your heart was wicked. But I cast out demons in your name, but your heart was wicked." The unregenerate preacher will say, "But I preached 5,132 sermons in your name." And Jesus will say, "But your heart was wicked." By the way, you do know that no one was ever accepted into heaven because he preached a sermon, right? No one was ever accepted into heaven because he made a career of religious service. But many have been accepted into heaven because their hearts were made pure by the sheer grace of Christ. Every preacher will face the same scrutiny as everyone else, and he will be accepted into heaven not because he preached sermons, but because his heart was found to be pure. There is only one way to be accepted by God, and that way is to have a heart made pure by the blood of Christ and by the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. There will be no unregenerate hearts in heaven. Not one. You see, God must change our natural heart if we are to see the kingdom of heaven. There was a religious man in Jesus' day by the name of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus one night. Nicodemus, of course, is represented in the Bible to be the teacher in Israel. He was perhaps the premier teacher of religion in Israel. And he came one night to have a discussion with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." This is the fundamental truth of salvation. You must gain a new heart. Your old one will not do. It is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked, and it will never see the kingdom of God. However, if God is gracious to you, He will give you a new heart, and you will be blessed indeed. This is why Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's talk for a few minutes this morning about what is a pure heart. First of all, I would just to suggest to you that it is a regenerated heart. If the heart of the natural man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, if the heart of the natural man is dead in trespasses and sins, as the Bible says, then the pure heart is certainly one that has been made alive by the power of God. The pure heart is the heart that has been quickened, as the Bible says. It is that new creation which God has made in man. The old heart is just not qualified for the kingdom of heaven. It is dead in trespasses and sins. It has no spiritual sense. It has no inclination toward holiness. But if the Holy Spirit woos you, and the Holy Spirit of God calls you and draws you, and if the Holy Spirit rides the wings of the gospel into your heart and makes you alive, then you begin to see the kingdom of heaven. But it's not only a regenerate heart, it's a broken heart. We've already seen in this set of Beatitudes, the first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And in Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn. You see, the heart that is pure is the one that is broken. Broken over sin. It is not the self-righteous Pharisee, but it is the publican. It is not the religious worker, but it is the spiritual beggar. You see, when God regenerates the heart, the first response that comes bubbling up is repentance. You see your sin in a way that you never saw it before. You see your utter helplessness like you never saw it before. Your sins seem to be a weight on your shoulders which you cannot carry one more day. And you cry out to God like you never cried out to Him before. Now John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because repentance is the first response of the living heart. But what else is a pure heart? A pure heart is a believing heart. When God creates a new heart in you, it will certainly be a believing heart. When you hear the good news of the gospel, you attend to it with open ears. Before, the gospel seemed like a fairy tale. Before, it seemed like noise in the distance, and you barely heard it at all. But now, the gospel is loud in your ears, and it is very personal to you. The preacher says, for God so loved the world, and you hear, for God so loved me. The preacher says, Jesus died for sins, and you hear, Jesus died for my sins. And suddenly your heart is believing the lovely words of the gospel. This is the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit over your heart. He will create in you a saving faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a pure heart is a regenerated heart. It is a repentant heart. It is a believing heart. But let me just say that a pure heart is also a justified heart. It is a heart that has been made legally righteous. Theologians call this justification, and no heart is ever accepted before God until it is justified. No heart is pure until it is legally pure. Our acceptance before God is first and foremost a legal matter. We have inherited from Adam the guilt of sin. We have inherited the penalty of sin. We have inherited from Adam the very nature of sin. And we have proved it over and over and over in our lives. We have piled high our sins against God. As Romans puts it, we have treasured up unto ourselves wrath against the day of wrath. There will ultimately be a legal accounting of things. God will open up the books and he will see, first of all, Adam's sin imputed to our account. You see, we were in Adam, and when Adam sinned, we sinned. He was our representative, and we are culpable in Adam. But in addition to that, our own personal sins are recorded. Each and every violation of the moral law of God is recorded. Every act of adultery is recorded. Every lie out of the mouth is recorded. Every idle word, the Bible says, is recorded, and our sins pile up against that day. But you say, surely I did enough to offset my sins. But when the books are opened, you will find that there is no righteousness whatsoever credited to your account. The Bible says your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You are rightfully condemned, thoroughly condemned, hopelessly condemned, eternally condemned. But the man who simply believes in Jesus has all of that undone, doesn't he? As David says, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You see, blessed is the man when God legally wipes away his sins. Blessed is the man when God takes the righteousness of Christ and legally transfers it to his account. But fifthly, the pure heart is not a hypocritical heart. The word pure really means single. It means unmixed. It is a heart that is not double-minded. And when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, perhaps he intended to set forth the Christian heart in contrast to the hearts of the Pharisees. You see, the doctrine of Jesus stands in stark contrast to the outward hypocrisy of the Pharisees. I suppose that when Jesus spoke these words, it was against the backdrop of the spiritual emptiness of the day. The religious leaders of the day, and especially the Pharisees, were dominating religionists. They were staunch legalists, and they had misinterpreted the law of Moses to be a legal code by which they could obtain salvation. And with wicked hearts, they went about trying to meticulously perform all of the requirements of the Mosaic law. Even when they failed morally, they thought that the ceremonial rituals would save them. And they said, if we simply perform all the religious ceremonies, we will be saved. You see, they supposed that they could perform religiously even though their heart was far from God. Listen to what Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 25, and 26. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. If only they had remembered that God looks beyond the works and beyond the deeds and beyond the religious services, and he peers down deep in the heart. The people of Israel had come to view religion as nothing but an outward performance. It was rote. It was routine. It was without feeling. It was without knowledge of the substance. It was mere religious performance, and what a deadly recipe that is for hell, you see. It was works and mere works. And let me just say, oh, how man would love to work his way to heaven. Why does man want to do that so much? Men everywhere want to work for salvation, and this is because they have evil hearts. They know that they cannot make it on the basis of their heart condition, and so surely there is a way to work their way in. But Jesus said, no, only a pure heart will do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The reward of a pure heart is that we shall see God. Do you see that? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what a blessing that will be. Let me close with this little illustration. There was a woman by the name of Anna May Pinnica. She had been blind since birth, never saw a thing. And she was 62 years old. She had never seen the blue sky, never seen the ocean, never seen her loved ones. She could only imagine what things might look like. Then one day, Dr. Thomas Pettit of the Jules Stein Eye Institute, I believe that's in California, performed surgery on her eyes, and she could see for the first time. 20/30 vision, that's pretty good. You can get a driver's license with that kind of vision. And oh, how exciting it was for her. She opened her eyes and she saw the world for the first time ever. And she said everything seemed so much bigger and so much brighter than she had ever imagined. After that, she woke up every morning excited to go out and just see the world. The interesting thing is that the surgery which brought her sight had been available for 30 years. And she just didn't know about it. Now that's the joy of physical sight, but there is also the joy of spiritual sight, you see. And when God opens up your spiritual eyes, it is a glorious day indeed. And it is great to wake up every morning with spiritual eyes to see. But one of these days we're going to wake up in heaven. Might be tomorrow, might be today, you see. And the sights of heaven are going to amaze you for the first time. It's going to be bigger, it's going to be brighter than you ever imagined. But the greatest blessing of all will be when Jesus taps you on the shoulder and you turn around and you will see God in His personal glory for the first time. And so Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.